I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All you cheaters are about to get bounced from Call of Duty thanks to something called Ricochet.
Maybe.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Let's be honest. We'll see.
We will see. Hey, this is the Gamers 2 podcast.
Hey, good job.
Your weekly roundup of news and commentary related to the video game industry and anything else that might pique our interest.
There.
There's a lot of stuff in this week, but it's...
We put music in.
It's mostly boring things, so you know we'll probably cruise through it, comment on things.
I will probably do tangents.
Tangents.
But in the meantime, before we get there... Do you want to hear about other things?
Do I have a choice?
No.
Well, there you have it, folks. Here's your curated list of new goodies from Nate, who is always right.
I need the shirt. as per usual, number one, Book of Travels for the PC. Number two, Back for Blood. For everything except for the Switch.
Suck it, Switch.
Left 4 Dead is back. For Blood.
Probably should have been Left 4 Dead.
Ooh, I see what you did there. I like that. Yeah. I get what you're saying. Number 3, Disco Elysium, the final cut for the Xbox and Switch. Number 4, Ori the Collection for the Switch. Number 5, Midnight Protocol for the Switch. Number 6, Starlight Alliance for the PC and Switch. Number 7, A Little Golf Journey for the PC and Switch. Number 8, Aeon Must Die, PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 9, Bonito Days for the Switch. Number 10, Despot's Game. Despo's Game? Despot's Game? It's a Despot, right? Despot, I think, is how you pronounce that for the PC. Number 11, Doctor Who, The Edge of Reality. For the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 12, Dungeon Encounters for the PC, PlayStation, and Switch. Number 13, Godstrike for the PlayStation and Xbox. Number 14, probably our favorite game on this list that isn't named Back for Blood. Jackbox Party Pack 8. For everything that Jackbox is normally on.
They keep coming out with them.
Hey, people keep liking to throw game parties.
They are fun.
They are fun. They do cause issues, though, when some people want to use a stylus. Number 15, Ruin Raiders for the PC and Switch. Number 16, Sphere Flying Cities for the PC. Number 17, Ancient Stories, Gods of Egypt for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 19, The Crisis Remastered Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
For the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Number 19, Demon Slayer, The Hikonami Chronicles. For the PC, PlayStation, and Xbox. Is that right?
Sure.
All right, thanks. Number 20, The Good Life. For the PC, PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Going to need to play that. Know what one's like. Number 21, Grey Lancer for the PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. Number 22, Story of Seasons, Friends of Mineral Town for the PlayStation and Xbox.
Good stuff.
Give me them evens.
Oh, wow. Decisive. Very decisive.
It's just what I am, you know? I'm indecisive until the very last second, and then I become very decisive very fast.
That's confusing to wrap your head around.
Well, you know, you get to the restaurant table, right? You're looking at the menu.
Yep.
Waiter comes by, waitress, whatever, comes by. Hey.
A wait person.
Member of the wait staff comes by. Well, you guys ready for your ready to order? Oh, no, you know, just take a minute. Okay, all right, I'll be back. They leave. Meanwhile, you're like, I have no idea. No idea what I want.
Normally then, what happens is you say, oh, we need a minute, and then you get engaged in a conversation and completely forget to look at the menu.
That could normally happen, but then what happens the second time the person walks back by?
You're like, says, fuck.
And says the same thing.
Yeah.
Do you then go, oh, I, you know what, I need a little bit longer. Or do you do what I do, blind panic and commit to something?
Yeah, I get where you're coming from.
I just make the decision right there.
Yeah.
I delayed it enough. It's time to make a decision. I wanted food anyway. That's why I'm here. Decision time.
Yep. Whenever I do that, I always order something and the other person ends up getting like something that's like way better. And I'm like, fuck, I really...
I've never ran into that situation. I have ran into the... I wish I ordered something more complicated, because sometimes when you do that, I run into like a comfort situation.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, burgers are easy. Maybe one of them. Anyway.
Yeah. Burgers.
Onward, onward and upward with a gaming podcast about food.
Number one, Final Fantasy 14 is now the most profitable entry into the franchise, after reaching 24 million registered players. As reported by IGN, the MMO, oh my god, I'm like just like...
We are in story one.
Start. MMORPG, which initially launched in 2010, hit 4 million registered users in 2015 and 10 million in 2017. Pretty impressive, like, ramp up there. 4 million to 10 million in two years. And then, what we got, 5 years from now? From then, it's 24 million.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, good for them.
You love to see it.
I hate Final Fantasy, though, so.
I really don't give a shit about Final Fantasy, but I like seeing MMOs succeed because I find them very fun.
Yeah, Final Fantasy is one of those things where, like, I just don't get it.
I don't get Final Fantasy as a whole, but watching the MMO do very well bodes well for me as a fan of MMOs.
Yeah, I mean, there was a fear there for a bit.
That there wouldn't be another one.
Yes. After the Old Republic kind of, like... Started to fade.
I think we probably peaked around 4 million to 10 million. Like, mm-hmm. 10 million probably in its first year, not of concurrent ever, but like just new people. And that immediately went from 4 to then 2, and mm-hmm. then it was like, ah.
Yeah, I was like, well.
And then Guild Wars 2, which I don't think ever actually took off. WildStar died immediately.
Yep.
A bunch of them started shutting down.
They canceled what was supposed to be the successor to WoW. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, Titan.
Yep.
When like, Titan turned into Overwatch.
Yep. But I think the pendulum is going to swing too hard to the other side. And I think we're going to have a little bit of a MMO resurgence in a not necessarily a good way. We're going to get a bunch of junk again. And New World's going to be the problem. Like, they're going to kick that off, I think.
Oh, where we potentially hit those weird MMOs now?
Yeah, like, you know how there was that point where there was, like, a fuck ton of MMOs coming out, and they would, like, last for, like, a year and then die?
Yeah, we might be doing it again.
Yes.
Yeah. I could see that. The New World thing is an interesting concept, or not concept, event,
mm-hmm.
where it's a different MMO.
Yeah.
It kind of. It follows a Black Desert-esque and some other MMOs ideas.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's still only two so far that I think the end game's probably actually good, and it's Final Fantasy and WoW.
Yeah.
And I wish I had done the raids in Star Wars to know whether or not they were worth it.
I'm going to assume they're probably not, because if they were, we would know.
I feel like we'd be talking about it, but I just wish I had made it to the end and been doing dungeons and raids with people in that game to see how it felt.
Yeah.
At lifetime, not just, hey, I'm going to go back in there now and hang around with mm-hmm. all the people that are left, because all the people that are left are usually the ones that have been playing it forever and know everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, what if I want to go in fresh? I would love to have the new MMO experience, which is what New World was.
Yeah.
For a lot of people, was the, hey, new, fresh MMO. But for me, when I saw that the end game was mostly PvP and it was all that crafting or whatever, that's not a me angle. I want to get to the end and start doing dungeons and raids and whatever. And I would love to see that happen again. Guild Wars 3, whatever, just to commit again to another MMO and just be like, all right, what's it going to be like?
I definitely think there's room in the space for another big MMO that does that.
Yeah.
It puts all the pieces together, because I feel like Old like Republic, WoW, I don't Old really Republic include 2. Because like WoW is so old and pre-existing, like you're,
yeah,
the odds of that like changing significantly is slim.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't, unless there was a WoW 2. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, whereas like I think there's an opportunity for a new MMO to come in and really put all the pieces together from like what we've learned from modern gaming.
Yeah.
Like what WoW has done combined with like, you know, like Destiny's raids and Final Fantasy and like everyone that even the Old Republic, like all these games that have done something slightly different.
Yeah.
Throw it in a jar, shake it up.
Boom.
Throw it on the ground. Watch all the nerds come over and lap it up. That's a mental image for you.
That's one I didn't want. Number 2, Esports Communities Company MOBA Network has acquired gaming forum ResetEra.com for $4.5 million. The team behind ResetEra will continue to operate the forum under this new leadership, with MOBA Network saying it wants to look into ways to, quote, increase advertising revenue through a higher share of direct sales, implementation of new ad formats, and a long-term product development strategy, end quote. So ResetEra got bought.
Yeah. Have you frequented ResetEra?
Never.
From what I know of it, it's a pretty toxic place.
Yes.
Okay.
That's my understanding of it as well. And what was the other? Was ResetEra the new one or was that the old one? Like that group like forked at one point.
I think you're right. I think ResetEra is the old one.
I don't remember. They like forked and there's another one now, or yeah, there was another one. But yeah, they're both just like cesspools.
Yep. Good stuff. Number 3. Activision announced a new anti-cheat system for Call of Duty, Warzone, and Vanguard called Ricochet.
Who? I wonder who said that earlier.
I don't know. Some dude. The new tool is described as a, quote, multifaceted approach to combat cheating, featuring new server-side tools which monitor analytics to identify cheating, enhanced investigation processes to stamp out cheaters, updates to strengthen account security, and more, end quote. As part of the new tool, Activision will be introducing a new PC kernel-level driver, which will support the anti-cheat system by monitoring apps that interact with the game. It will be mandatory in order to be able to play Warzone. Activision claimed the user's privacy will remain unaffected, though, as Ricochet's kernel-level driver isn't always on, only operates while playing Warzone, only monitors software interacting with the game, and turns off when you're shutting the game down. Not that any of that actually matters, since the code has leaked online and found its way into the hands of cheat creators. Twitch user and industry watchdog Anti-Cheat PD said that it's, quote, not that great and will be reversed easily, end quote. There is a rumor circulating that the code was leaked intentionally as a form of counterintelligence and isn't actually authentic. So we'll have to see how that plays out. I don't know if you've heard any more from on that end, but
no, I haven't heard anything more on that end.
I like the idea that it's like counterintelligence, you know, like they're like, here's a little.
Yes.
To like point them in the wrong direction. But
a mix of either point them in the wrong direction or figure out who your internal leaker is.
Yeah. At the same time, it seems like it might be like too smart for them to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely the other edge where it's like, you got God, didn't you?
Yeah.
But good.
Yeah. Hopefully, I don't know.
It just needs to not be as offensive. Like,
it's like a weird gray area there.
I don't understand people's obsession with cheating. There's that. There's that first level.
For the amount of time and effort and money that you put into, like, these people put into either create these cheats or buy these cheats or run these cheats. You could just play the game and like get reasonably good at it.
So I'll put it this way. Well, not really a way, I guess. It makes sense creating them because people are going to pay, so you make money. I think that's still stupid on the buyer's part. Just why are you so obsessed with cheating? And then to that same, I don't know why I put that on, to the same level, it needs to not be as bad as the Riot one. I believe Vanguard is its name.
Mm-hmm.
Because Vanguard nuked your system into oblivion from functioning. It was very just, it was terrible, it was rude, it was disgusting, I hated every second of it. I'm fine with anti-cheat, and I'm fine with it being very, like, good and stuff, obviously. But when it's tanking my system when I'm not playing the game, we have issues.
Yeah, it is interesting how,
Yeah.
So, like, how do they implement those cheats, those anti-cheats on a console? Like, do you think the console's manufacturers are giving them that same level of access to implement anti-cheats? Are they just not really?
Yes and no, kind of. Your OSs are different on both of them. I mean, you're basically running a Windows OS on an Xbox anyway.
Yeah.
So it really isn't that hard to do the exact same thing. And you wouldn't, it'd be on PlayStation, you're a little bit more Linux based, but it would still be the same implementation where for those, you'd still have to go through the certification process, probably where you pass it to Microsoft or Sony and have them do the typical scans and everything of, yeah, this is fine, this isn't, whatever, yada yada.
Yeah. Interesting. We shall see. I'm sure we will talk about it more.
I'm sure we will. Once it actually, like, is out there.
Yeah.
Number four, it all makes sense now. According to the New York Times, quote, FIFA is seeking more than double what it currently receives from EA Sports. According to people with knowledge of the talks, a figure that would increase its payout from the series to more than $1 billion for each four-year World Cup cycle, end quote. There's also disagreement between the companies on what the new deal should cover. FIFA, for example, would like to keep EA's exclusivity on a smaller scale so it can pursue new opportunities for revenue, said the Times. EA Sports, however, argues that it should be able to explore other business ventures with the FIFA video game brand, such as NFTs. Oh, goddammit. The current deal between EA and FIFA doesn't expire until the end of 2022. Hey, corporate licensing fight.
Yeah, it's pretty disgusting. Just feels dirty.
Yeah. I really don't have a good opinion.
I guess the best question for gamers is, like, how would you feel, which we talked about last week, how would you feel about EA's soccer game, football game, whatever you want to call it, not being FIFA branded?
They're both weird takes, because
let me read the next one because it is directly related. So then we can get into it. In somewhat related, directly related news,
the moment you said direct, and I looked back down, I was like, idiot.
Wow,
God, he played himself.
EA Sports and the Global Union of Professional Football Players, FIFPro. Is that how you say that? Like, I've never.
Yeah, it makes sense. FIFPro. That sounds worse. FIFPro. Fifes, that sounds worse.
Fife and drum, has announced an extension of their contract. The extent of the deal wasn't specified, but the company shared that it is a, quote, long-term commitment, end quote. With the extended partnership, the developer will be able to continue using player likenesses that are supported by the Football Union. In addition to the use of professionals, EA will have the continued use of various leagues, such as the UEFA Champions League, Premier League, and La Liga? La Liga, Santa, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
La Liga Santander.
Okay, there you go. Stupid Europeans.
Fucking kangaroos.
Exactly.
Yeah, so, I mean, with this, it's interesting between the two.
Yeah.
So you're saying you have two separate deals for exclusivity, where FIFA owns part and then, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
The players own the other part, which makes sense. The players should own the other thing and yada yada. But if you just named it EA Sports Football and still had all the likenesses and everything.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Because you still have the leagues. You still have the player likenesses.
Yeah. The only question then is, do you not have the teams? You have the leagues, but can you not have the teams? So you have to do a Manchester Red, Manchester Blue type thing.
Which would be weird if you had the players, had the leagues,
but the teams
didn't have the
FIFA.
Teams, yeah. And then you couldn't probably use World Cup either.
No, probably not.
So, like, what a fucking, like, chop job.
Yeah. But then, even then, with the exclusivity deal where they're talking, FIFA, for example, would like to keep their exclusivity on a smaller scale, but make more money from them.
Yep.
Which is
There was a story that dropped today that I didn't feel like included, but they basically, FIFA came out and said, we want to be able to do work with more companies and come out with more games. Was basically, they just straight out said it.
Which, that's fine, but it's a weird thing that you'd say that and then immediately say, but no, you're also going to give us double the money.
Yeah, because they like came out with a statement basically saying that they feel like the future for FIFA, like in football, is very bright.
Yeah, because I'm also sure that FIFA would love to slap itself in with Football Manager. I would almost put money on it that they would love to do that.
Oh, I'm sure.
Put the licensing on both, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
That's just one example of an already existing game that makes sense. But that you can't then go to EA and go, hey, so you're not the only one, but also still give us twice as much money. Like, that just... I mean, I'm fine with it because EA makes hand over fist money, but at the same time, it's like that's just a really weird request.
I think what FIFA wants is they want to be able to make more different types, be associated with more different types of games, like Football Manager, probably a bunch of mobile shit.
Yeah,
but they also want FIFA Ultimate Team money. So, I think that's
right.
Part of it too.
Which this is the other kick too. So. The other thing, EA Sports, however, argues that it should be able to explore other business ventures with the FIFA video game brand, such as NFTs. EA, and I think that this is not directly what they mean, potentially, but this is where I think it could lead to very dangerously, is what we've discussed before. When they mention NFTs, EA wants to make Ultimate Team NFTs.
Yeah. I'm pointing, Nate has a lovely giant coffee table of baseball cards right now he's sorting through. And they want to do that type of shit.
But digitally.
Yes. And but digitally. Worse. And worse, yeah.
I'm saying, because those... I
have one of one.
Soccer cards are down there. Not just one of one. They would do... It's Ultimate Team.
Mm-hmm.
So it would get... If they were doing it that way, it would be very stupid. You'd either have five different variations that are all like image variations of a player, with the last one being some animated like thing. Or they would do all of that, but then also increase the ratings based on which one it was. So you could pay $550 to get the version that, you know, had two plus shot power.
The platinum version from their best season when they made it to whatever.
Yep.
Yeah.
Pay to win.
I fucking...
Pay to win, and then they give every streamer every pack, and then boom. But every streamer just wins anytime.
What a
what a potential disgrace.
Feel just so dirty.
Yeah, it might become very, very bad, very quick.
Gross.
Number six, a group.
A group.
Just the whole group. A group of industry veterans coming from ArenaNet. Hey. Hey, sound familiar. Insomniac, EA, Ubisoft, and Undead Labs, and more, have announced the creation of game development studio Possibility Space. Based out of New Orleans, Louisiana, the company said, Nolens, Louisiana, the company said that it's committed to, quote, creating world-class games within safe and ethical work environments. Good start. The studio also aims to support, train, mentor, and hire people from marginalized communities. Possibility Space is led by founder and CEO Jeff Strain. Strain is best known for co-founding ArenaNet and founding Undead Labs. Throughout his career, he served as programmer on StarCraft, lead programmer of World of Warcraft, and other various roles. Interesting to see what comes out of there.
There's going to be, like, 3 years from now, there's so many new fucking studios.
Yeah, yeah.
That are, like, have good talent. Like, 3 to 5 years from now, it's gonna be, like, a fucking nuts.
Absolutely nuts.
So nuts.
And then we might see 1/3 of what THQ has ready.
By that point, Embracer Group might just own video games.
Yeah, it'll be like them.
It'll be like them in Tencent. Yeah.
Fight. NetEase will be just hoping to keep up.
Yeah. And China will be like, no video games for anyone.
Except me.
Yeah.
Put them behind my great firewall. And I will continue
it'll be
to
like
oppress
no,
my people.
It'll be like no video games for the rest of the world, and they just sell them directly to America, and that's just how they're sucking all the money out of the country. It's like...
Yeah, yes, like that's how they need to do it.
Yes. Yes, one way. One of the ways. They're hacking the rest out.
Evil raccoon hands.
Yes.
Have you ever seen that gif?
I've seen plenty of raccoons with their hands.
And they're just doing the, like, the finger evil raccoon. Yep. It's like my favorite thing in the world. They're just like, ooh, give me.
Yeah, give me things.
You got a grape? Give me the grape. I want the grape. And then they get the whole grape and they're like double fisting a grape because it's too big. And like, ooh. Nah.
Trash pandas.
That's twice.
Terrible. It's just terrible.
We're synced up.
My keyboard swishers are called trash pandas.
I thought they were called
You have your trash pandas
and
your Halo trues. You Frankenstein them together and you get
holy pandas.
Holy pandas.
And then, but there were unholy pandas too.
Well, you take what's left.
Oh.
From the two, because you're only taking half and half. So the other ones, when you put them together, you get unholy pandas.
So you're just breeding.
Yes. Yes. You're doing a little keyboard switch husbandry. What is this podcast? What is this podcast? All right. What number are we on? 7.
Yeah.
The Communications Workers of America have filed their own objection to a settlement between Activision Blizzard and the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission. In a letter attached to its filing, the union detailed 31 points of concern. And we're going to go through every single one. I'm just kidding. Including requests for various documents and clarifications not released alongside news of the settlement. For example, it requests more explanation as to how the EEOC determines who counts as an eligible claimant and asks why the settlement was not made in coordination with the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, which has also filed a suit against the publisher. The plot thickens.
Yeah, no one was going to be happy that they tried to make a settlement.
No one.
Because now it is pitchfork time.
It is.
Burn them at the stake. They are witches.
And it's going to be thickened further with a little cornstarch. Or flour. Or, you know, whatever you choose.
I mean, use either one.
Yeah.
Flour's a little bit more annoying to use.
Yeah. Yeah.
In my experience.
You know what? I'll be completely honest with you. I can't seem to have consistent luck with either one of them. It's all about the heat.
Yeah. Anytime you're like, dude, story of my life. anytime you're trying so there's times where it's called for in a recipe, right?
Yeah.
And those times it's usually fine. Mm-hmm. But anytime they're like, oh, does it seem too thin? Just add a little bit to thicken it. And I'm like,
what's that mean? Fuck. How do I do this? And the next thing you know, you end up with this just like, I don't even know.
Yeah,
you might get like a dough. You might get, like, just this lumpy thing. You might just... It just might not work.
You just have me sitting there staring at it like,
yeah.
I don't know. And then I end up looking like the Salt Bay guy. Mm-hmm. Just a little bit there. Did I do anything? No? All right, a little bit more. Like, you're not going to get anywhere doing that. Just put it in. And then I scoop it in, and I'm like, nah, too much.
Exactly.
Number 8. New information pertaining to a settlement between...
You're right.
Okay. All right.
Yep. That was the whole, like, it's going to get the...
Oh, we're doing more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Gotcha. Between Activision Blizzard and EEOC has... has unveiled potential ethical violations that may impact the wider lawsuit. A document filed last week by EEOC has, as spotted by PC Gamer, points out that two leading lawyers on the suit filed by the Department for Employment and Housing in California also previously worked for the EEOC and specifically investigated Activision Blizzard prior to the $18 million settlement made last week between the two parties to resolve charges of discrimination. If this is proven to be true, it is a conflict of interest, a violation of attorney ethics, and a breach of the California Rules of Professional Conduct, according to the filing. So, hey, we're not just pieces of shit. We're extra pieces of shit.
What a mess, dude. This is great.
It's one of those, hey, can we cover this up? Yeah, yeah, sure. Just here, 18 mil. All right, cool. Good talk. You think anybody's going to look at that?
Nah.
Nah.
It's fine. It's fine. Wow. I love it. Didn't we call this, though? I'm pretty sure on the podcast when this first came out, we're like, oh, I guarantee you they slipped him some money. And we're like, hey, help us cover this up.
Oh, what, for the $18 million thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. We definitely said that they said, hey, cover this. And then we also immediately said everyone's going to have gigantic problems with this.
Oh my god, we gotta play lottery or something.
Listen. I can only be right so often. It just turns out that often's quite a fucking lot,
and never when you need it to be.
No, it's never about anything good either.
Yeah, it's never like
it's just me being able to clearly see how corporations are going to ruin everything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way they would do that.
That's why we need video, so you can see these like facial expressions.
How many times do I have to teach you this lesson? I fight that at work sometimes. Just in dealing with some stupid people or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way they're going to do that. You've explained it to them 7 times. There's no way they would think they would do that. Do you think they listened the first 7?
Never do.
Which is the other thing, I will always preach this. Trial by fire at a certain point.
Yeah.
If they haven't listened the first 7 times, I'm going to let them break it. And then when they go, I don't know what happened. I go, well, what did you do? Huh, weird. You didn't do any of the things I told you to do the first 7 times. Your fault. And then I stare at them until they realize that they're exactly wrong.
Paper trails help as well.
Huge cover your ass paper trails. Yep. And then gigantic piles of shame.
Yep.
Are my 2 favorite things. Shame. I love nothing more than walking into a room after I told everybody that was involved with like a presentation, hey, this exact feature is going to cause an issue. And then I get called into the room because something went wrong. And I go, hey, so what did you try to do? And they go, oh, well, when we get to this point, it breaks. And I go, I told you in 3 different emails 4 days ago to not do that or it will break. And I say that loudly to the people they're presenting in front of. So that way they all have the boat where they go, oh, they're incompetent.
I got him.
Because it's the only way they're going to learn.
Got him. Welcome to Life Lessons with Nate and Matt. Number 9. Nintendo revealed the details to its new Nintendo Switch Online Plus expansion service, which launches on October 25th. Did you see this yet? You're looking now, so never mind. I was going to have you guess how much it's going to cost.
Oh, I know how much it's going to cost.
Okay. The new subscription will cost $50 a month. Just kidding. $50 a year for individuals and $80 a year for family membership, compared to the basic Nintendo Switch Online price of $20 annually for an individual and $35 for a family. At launch, the selection of Nintendo 64 games will include titles such as Star Fox 64, The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time, and Sin and Punishment. As for the Sega Genesis offerings, players will have access to titles such as Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, and the Gunstar Heroes. Nintendo has said it will release additional titles for both platforms over time. Members will also have access to the Animal Crossing New Horizons Happy Home Paradise expansion DLC. The DLC will be available separately for $25. How do you feel about this?
If we had cameras, you'd see my shocked face.
Pikachu shocked face?
No.
Okay.
It'd be the same face I carry every day. Just normal disappointment.
So $20 a year for an individual.
Normally.
And then is it $50 on top of that? Or is it $50 period?
Period.
Okay.
Because the 20 services is inside the 50.
Yeah. Okay.
So here's my quick 2 cents to anybody that's freaking out about this. Are you ignorant? Any other online service,
mm-hmm.
PlayStation 60 for a year?
Yes. I think, did they go up with game
They're
prices?
Not 50.
It's definitely 60. I'm not sure if it went up to 70, though.
And I think Xbox is 60 as well.
So let's say it's 60. It's 60.
That sounds right. Nintendo's usually $10 under. Just in their life. So you really thought they were going to not up it from 20 at some point?
Yeah, I think when it came out, we were like, wow, it's really cheap.
When it came out, we both said that's too low.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, doesn't make sense for that being that low.
I mean, my suspicion is that they'll axe the $20 at some point and
eventually
it'll just be $15.80.
They gotta move you over there. They gotta.
Yeah.
That being said, I've already canceled my sub.
Mm-hmm.
I would never pay $50.
Mm-hmm. To be clear, Nintendo Online, I don't know. It's hard to compare it really to Xbox and PlayStation because it's really a different service. Like you're not really playing. Like on the other two, you're paying a part of that is the multiplayer access and all the online features that comes with it, which Nintendo doesn't really have that.
Smash, Mario Kart, Mario Party.
Mm-hmm. More, I think. I feel like their offerings are like the extra games that you get.
That's what they're trying to say are worth the extra money for sure.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying is trying to separate them in terms of difference, but you're still getting the games free every month with the other service and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So that's why it doesn't surprise me. They're offering games. They're trying to justify raising the price because why wouldn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they know it was too cheap. They needed people in the ecosystem. Now you got them in, you know, get them once, got them for life.
Yep.
So it makes sense. I think the DLC being added in for New Horizons. So hey, Animal Crossing lovers, you got new DLC coming. I think that's not red herring, but a token of good faith type maneuver where you're not going to see it happen again.
Yeah, I think that's the maneuver to try to move everyone over to to that service so that in a year they can be like they can quietly say they're getting rid of the
$20
because
one. I would guess that when you advertise them, if you're Nintendo, you say, hey, this is the $20 one, hey, this is the $50 one, and you in the $50 one include the picture of Animal Crossing with an asterisk next to the words Animal Crossing, but that asterisk is in very, very small print somewhere else on the screen that says also available separately for $25,
mm-hmm.
when it would actually be cheaper still to buy that and pay $20 a year.
Yeah.
So, they're going to clearly try to show that it's part of it.
Yeah.
But you could just also buy it separately and be done with it.
Yep.
But yeah, like I said, it doesn't surprise me that much. I know some people were like, I can't believe it. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But I think it's just for a lot of Nintendo people or a lot of Switch people, it is a little bit of a shock because mm-hmm. If they've stuck with that for the entire time, whatever, they've never had to experience the nightmare world that is stupid subscription services.
Yes. Yeah, they're getting out of control again. It's crazy.
Yep. Number 10. Google has filed a countersuit against Epic Games in the antitrust case opposing them. Filed on October 11th in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California, the suit argues that Google's OS is a critical source of competition against other operating systems. That's a bold fucking claim. Considering that users are not forced to use Google Play to download apps for Android. It gives the example of Epic Games itself, which initially distributed the Android version of Fortnite via the Samsung Galaxy Store and on its own website in 2018 before launching on Google Play in April 2020.
Apple and the whole Apple Epic thing kind of made us all forget that Google and Epic are also battling it out. And I think there's another one, too. I think it's just maybe it's just a three-way thing.
Microsoft was in there too. It was but they weren't fighting with Epic. They had sided with Epic kind of because of their whole xCloud thing. Because Google and Apple were both against the xCloud thing initially.
Yeah, I think it's like a three way though, where it's Epic versus
Apple specifically was against the xCloud thing. Google was kind of more lax about it.
Yeah.
So I'm confused.
Yeah.
The suit argues that Google's operating system is a critical source of competition against other operating systems. What?
Google's appeal, I think, is what that is intending to imply.
Google's appeal is that its operating system is competition against other operating systems?
Yeah, because I think this was Epic was hitting Google with the same thing Epic was hitting Apple with, essentially, to where, like, antitrust, anti-competition.
Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. Okay. Explain like that, it makes more sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that was kind of like, it's been a long time, and
it's almost more like Epic should have just shut up when they had the option of all the other app stores versus...
Yeah. Epic is not taking their small victories. They want the whole cake.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
let me eat it.
Apple has filed number 11. Apple has filed. They kind of go together a little bit. Not really. Apple has filed filed an appeal against the judge's decision from this year's trial against Epic Games. Oh my God. Reuters reports the iPhone firm has asked the U.S. federal court to pause orders that require it to change its anti-steering practices. I never heard that before. On the App Store. Apple has claimed that enabling the change could cause harm to its own business and its consumers. I kind of felt this was coming. Now that I'm thinking about it. It also claims it is working on solutions that would enable developers to inform users of external payment channels, but still collect commissions and protect them from scams. I kind of felt like this was going to happen to where Apple's going to be like, appeal it and be like, listen, you know, if we do this, bad things are going to happen.
Yes, because that's the guise that they like to put on, that they're the white knight.
Yes, yes.
They very much, Apple is full of white knights. Here's where they immediately shoot themselves in their own foot. In my head.
Okay. Let's do it.
You're going to claim things are going to go bad and things are going to get scammed. But you have a closed ecosystem choosing on what you allow in and what you don't allow in by saying everything in our store is vetted.
Yeah.
So are you wrong or are you wrong? Which one are you wrong on? Are you letting everything in and not vetting it, which is why you're worried about scams? Or are you just lying because you want money?
I think they are lying because they want
to fearmonger into money, which is
they don't want to let go of the control
because they want money.
Yes.
Yeah. That's
and power, money and power,
hookers and blow, money and power.
Same thing.
If you have one, you have the other. You know what I mean? You got hookers, you got blow, you got money, hand in
hand. You know, hand in hand. You got money in one hand and
booty power in the other.
Money in one hand, power in the other, and then like blow in one hand and hooker in the other.
Single hooker, just in the hand.
A hooker, a piece of hooker.
yeah, a piece of a hooker in your hand.
I don't know.
Hooker, I barely know her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's always been my issue whenever Apple's like, we're trying to protect the people and not cause scams. I'm like, you have a closed store that you guys personally approve everything
on anyway.
Something
about Apple and the way that they word arguments is so, like, irritating.
Because it's the white knight simps of the internet writing everything.
Yeah, they word everything in such a way to where, like, we're like, we're the good guys and we're trying to do this for you. When it clearly is like, no, we're a mega corporation and we like money.
Yeah. They very much, because, do I want to say that?
Ooh. I don't know.
Because the audience they speak to are a bunch of fucking idiots. The audience that they talk to, for the most part, probably like 90% of their audience, is, give me new shiny thing, I use it as a status symbol.
Yeah.
So then when they talk to those people, they very much like to do the, not Robin Hood King. I'm trying to think of...
You know what it is.
Who I'm thinking of that's like...
Apple, like the traditional Apple fanboy is the tech version of anti-vaxxers.
Hold on. I gotta jump through some hoops for a second.
Think about it.
The original Apple fanboy.
Apple fanboys, like the people they're talking to.
Oh,
the tech version of anti-vaxxers.
And then I hate both of them? I guess I need a little bit more of your own explanation.
What is that funny joke like?
They're going to do their own research?
I don't know your fancy words, Magic Man, but I like how you say them.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the typical, it's same thing with the old Black Dynamite thing.
Yeah.
When the guy's doing the congressman speech.
Yep.
And she's dropping all the actual points, and he's like, I'm going to spin this shit. And he just starts rhyming, and everybody loves it because it's put to a beat.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hand in hand.
Yeah. They're the two-faced, they're putting on a nice dog and pony show.
Yeah. Propaganda.
Yeah. Exactly. They propaganda so hard.
So hard.
That it's like, how do you...
They cloned...
But they're propagandizing, again, to the right people. The people just eat that shit up, and they're like...
That's what I'm saying.
Apple would never do anything bad to me. They love me. It's like, no. You're a unit of dollars, and that's all.
Goebbels? What was the Nazi that was all propaganda? Was it Goebbels?
Oh, the... Himmler?
I was going to make a joke that they cloned him and he works at Apple now, but it's fine. I couldn't remember which one it was.
I think it's Goebbels. It's not Himmler.
That was the one I was like, is it Himmler or is it Goebbels? I don't know. It doesn't matter.
One of the two.
Sorry, we don't know our Nazis.
Several white males just got really angry. Yeah.
How dare you? That's your heritage.
Yeah. I love history, except whenever somebody asks me what history I love, I spit World War II immediately. Saw that going around a lot.
The
lately.
South will rise again. Okay.
Jesus. Oh, get out.
Fucking traitors.
It will rise. It will rise again, tweeted from my iPhone.
Nailed it. Okay.
Oh, I gotta go back to fucking my goat.
We got some good, like, shorts in there somewhere as we can make.
I don't know why I just ripped into the South for having to pause having sex with its goat for tweeting.
I don't know.
The South will rise again from an iPhone.
This whole
But
thing
the mental
was...
the mental image of that is so
I
good.
Mean, we compared Apple fanboys to anti-vaxxers.
Well, you say we.
We. Listen, this is a team effort, motherfucker. If I go down, you're going down with me. What else do we do?
I just said I hate both of them. Apple fanboys and anti-vaxxers.
Yeah, that's fair.
They're both scourges on this earth.
That's fair. I like my iPhone, though.
I didn't say you can't like it. I just said if you sit here and try to defend them like a fanboy, I'm going to punt you through that window.
That's fair. I mean, I will argue that
if you can, show up and if you,
I will argue the lightning cable versus USB-C thing, but that's just
we
like
can
a,
argue that I'm fine.
That's just a moral thing for me.
If anything, if you show up in a white knight costume, at least I'd understand.
I don't follow, but
I don't know. It'd be partially racist if you just showed up in a fully white knight costume, probably, but up here you might be celebrated. I don't know.
Not wrong.
This area is shit. Number 12, 100 Thieves, which is more specifically 100 Thieves. A gaming organization known for its esports teams, apparel, and big-name streamers is announcing its first acquisition, the gaming peripheral company Highground. If you aren't familiar, which I'm not, Highground makes what might be best described as designer gaming peripherals. It releases its products in limited drops and claims that every one of them has sold out. Hey, I claim that too when I drop three of them and they all get bought.
Yes.
Artificial scarcity.
Yeah. I thought this was interesting because there's a YouTuber slash streamer that I watch every once in a while, and he special what follow me on this one. He
here we go.
He built keyboards. Okay. For people. He's like, that's like his thing.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
and he designs keycaps and stuff like that.
Acrylics. And,
what, acrylics, like as in the
like custom keys?
Not he. I don't think he's ever done like the artisan keycaps.
Okay,
he has keycap sets. So like the keycap set I got for my keyboard was one that he designed.
Gotcha.
And it's not something he does often. I think he's only done it a couple times. But he basically builds keyboards and streams. And he was at 100 Thieves recently, and I thought that was kind of weird.
Yeah, but, you know, they're all out there doing their thing. They all know each other.
Yeah, they're all jerking each other off. And,
well,
or like, whatever.
you know the things. The
whatever dude. The kids do these days.
It's the three shells technique. How does it work?
Demolished Man? Wow. Love that movie.
Well, listen, you brought up Trading Places last time.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Of the same generation, kind of, yeah. Demolition Man. That's a good movie. If you've never seen Demolition Man, it's like your classic popcorn film.
Oh, I mean, there's so many of them from that era, though.
Oh, yeah. But it's got Sandra Bullock in it when she's that's like true. Peak Sandra Bullock.
You watch Lawnmower Man.
What's that?
Lawnmower Man?
I've never watched. Are you talking about the movie Lawnmower Man?
Yeah. I've never watched it. I just know the references.
I've watched it, but I don't remember any of it.
Oh.
So, because I was, like, younger and not paying attention.
There is a great clip of Bruce somewhere from the Funhouse days where they were going on during a GTA talking about, like, Lawnmower Man and something else. And he just, stop talking about Lawnmower Man.
I could see him saying that, too. It's kind of funny. I don't know why. What were we doing? Reading. Number 13.
What are any of us doing, Matt?
I don't know anymore. Just don't know. THQ Nordic and Aspyr Media are releasing a Star Wars Jedi Knight collection and Star Wars Racer and Commando combo. Ooh, that was a weird one for me. For PlayStation 4 on October 26th, followed by Switch on November 16th. Each collection will be available in North America and Europe for $30. I have to say, Star Wars Jedi Knight Collection. Ooh, chef's kiss.
Is that just one and two?
I don't know what they're going to include in that.
Yeah. DLCs?
I'm assuming they're going to do the Jedi. I would hope they're going to do the Jedi Knight as in like the Jedi Knight games, but also the Jedi Academy games.
Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. See if they include both of those, like the, because I think there's two and two. Then, great.
But hey, THQ Nordic out here dumping games.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And I like how Aspyr has become like the new Star Wars developer.
Yes.
Like they're well, just like
the kind of. Bring things back from the dead developer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where's my Empire at War remake?
I would be about that.
Dude, so would I.
Can you? That'd be good shit.
Yeah.
They'll do it.
This is my call to action. THQ Nordic, find one of your 75,000 studios to make a brand new 4K beautiful Empire at War game.
So the problem is the first thing any developer or studio or whatever would do if they looked at Empire at War as a remake, they'd be like, ooh, mobile game.
I will end their entire studio. Make it
as a true Rome Total War slash Civ style humankind RTS game. Keep all the same stuff, but I need you to skin it into 4K and give me some like new mechanics and stuff.
So that Empire of War and like the RTS, you know, game, that game style would work perfectly with the new Star Wars High Republic push they're doing.
Yes. It would be, and we've seen the custom add-ons that people have done.
Mm.
I can't remember what there's like a name of the complete set. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's Empire at War something
mm-hmm.
is the community supported and done one or whatever.
Yep.
Where they added more ships and more units and everything. Because yep. You had a bunch of Star Wars nerds that went, well, we can do the whole universe and threw it all in.
It's which like, is yeah. like the High Republic, whatever we're calling it, era. Has added in a couple new factions that would like work perfect. Cause one of the big ones is called like the Nihil, and they are a tribe of like, they are an entity of marauders that they like have special ships.
Are they just randomly part of Terran's group? Cause Terran was the expansion to Empire at War.
No, they're
not.
It's like pre
the man named Terran.
Yeah. Terran Card.
Yeah.
They are. It's like pre.
Oh, perfect.
High Republic. So, like,
add them in. Who cares?
They have, like, all these, like, storm chaser ships and shit like that. It's, like, literally the perfect match.
Yeah. The fact that it doesn't exist. THQ Nordic, 75,000 studios you have underneath you. Give me a beautiful 4K rendition, and I will give you money.
Money.
Number 14, Battlefield 2042 has shown off its third multiplayer mode titled Hazard Zone. It looks similar to the Division's My Tablet Went Dark. Dark Zone. See what I did there?
Got him.
Which seems to be all the rage right now. You collect data drives as a team of four and then try to survive till extraction matches on current gen. That is to say, old gen?
No, man. Current gen.
Current gen will be limited to 32.
I'm trying to remember.
But that is 32, so that is eight teams. So it makes sense when you think about it like that.
I think
because eight teams is a lot to have to manage, like not player count wise, but for if you were a player in there, and you're like, oh, I have to worry about 28 other people.
Yeah, I think previous gen it's like 24.
Sure, I don't care about them.
So they're just old. Throwing it out there.
They're old news, Matt. We moved on, man.
Yeah,
we're on the new consoles, man.
Yeah, fuck those losers.
also, I feel obligated to just dun 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 every time we mention Battlefield now.
Yeah, that's fair.
We're approaching 1 month. You have to give it the theme song every time now.
Oh yeah, I mean there's certain things, you know, like when you say Todd Howard.
Oh yeah, he's a crazy oil tycoon.
Yeah, exactly. number 15.
Such a dumb joke. We stole. I love it.
Yeah, well, everything we do is dumb, really. Call of Duty developer Sledgehammer Games has opened a new studio in Guildford.
Guildford.
The new UK office will work alongside teams in San Francisco, Melbourne, and Toronto, focusing on live content for Call of Duty Vanguard, as well as future projects. Support sure. studio.
Might as well.
I feel like they're going to end up having to like spin off Call of Duty as like a whole separate company.
Called Activision.
Mind blowing, really.
Well, let me just really set you back for a minute. Number 16, Ghost Recon Frontlines closed test has apparently been postponed. Although no reason was given, it seems to be because of the community backlash. YouTube reaction to the game's debut trailer is around 80% negative, with 4.4k likes to 17k dislikes. And social media has been flooded with dissatisfied fans. And you're looking at two of them right here. What has a podcast and four thumbs? These guys.
I like that way more than I should have.
I just like when I can get you with a dumb line that I'm literally making up on the spot every time.
Oh, yeah.
My favorite part of it.
It's fresh. Yeah, that was... I always feel bad for the developers when that type of stuff happens, but at the same time... We were talking about it when it came out. Like,
we saw it immediately.
It's coming
from a mile away. It was almost as if they had developed 4 years ago.
Yeah.
In a bunker that had no communication to the outside world.
Like, all right, we'll do this. And everybody was like, everybody else in the rest of the world did it six times over. And they're like, all right, so here's our new thing. What? What do you mean it's been done?
What do you mean?
But I have a sniper tower.
What do you mean they have hills?
You know, it probably wouldn't be as bad if it wasn't an Ubisoft game, because literally every new game they have coming out is so close in format.
If this was like an indie, not even double A studio, just a random, someone on level with the Ring of Elysium developer.
Yeah.
And they just dropped on Steam in a month. Yeah. You'd have been like, all right, makes
sense. Like, what's the fucking Portal shooter that came out? The hell's it called?
Splitgate.
Like, if it was something like that.
Yeah. And you're just like, oh, cool. It just kind of exists. It's there.
It's a thing. It's there.
Makes sense. And if it, you know, played well and it was everything, you'd be like, all right, kind of cool. Yeah.
All right.
But no, when you're coming out of a gigantic AAA developer with a Ghost Recon attached to you and in a publisher with a history of that and.
Yeah. And you've already announced.
There's a lot of red flags.
Yeah. You've already announced The Division Heartland.
Yes.
You've already announced Rainbow Six Extraction?
Yeah, no.
Which is whatever. The most different out of all of them. What was the one that's all the franchises stuck together?
X-Defiant.
I feel like there's another one in there too, but I can't remember what it is, so whatever. You get the point.
There's a lot of things that were similar, the point.
All right.
But again, it's like one of those red flag tweets. I don't know if you've been seeing those around.
I have not.
It's basically somebody usually either putting a comment or a quote, like a quote tweet from somebody, and then just putting 30 of the red flag emojis, mm-hmm. saying like, ha ha ha, this is a red flag.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Oh, like, oh, he uses, I'm trying to think of something. Is a Red Sox fan, and it's just a bunch of red flags.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, no, clearly I wouldn't want to date him. Bunch of red flags. Ha, ha, ha. Has a lifted truck. Oh, red flag. Like, ha, ha, ha. But then, like, this. Thinks Front Lines is a good game. Red flag.
Yeah. All right. Now for our short shit.
This is That's me trying to keep up with the youth, by the way.
Yeah.
Hence the backwards hat.
Fellow kids. It takes
Do a good Buscemi because I don't have the eyes for it. But
no, did you see that thing that was going around during 9/11 anniversary?
I've seen that thing going around for a few years. Yeah,
did they just re-upload it? Is that what the thing was?
Every time 9/11 comes up, Buscemi's efforts during 9/11 for going back down from a former volunteer firefighter get brought up.
Yeah, first time I saw it.
It's a very cool thing.
Yeah. It Takes Two has sold 3 million copies. Couch Co-op still alive.
It Takes Two from
Hazelight
last year. Yeah, Hazelight.
Yeah.
From Joseph Fares, my man who hates the Oscars.
Yeah, he does hate those Oscars. Riot is disabling /all chat in League of Legends match made queues. Because players have complained about it being used for verbal abuse increasingly this year. I feel like this has been a known thing for a long time. Has it gotten worse? Maybe. Who knows? I don't play League.
I'm a huge fan of them getting rid of all chat. I don't think it was ever needed. I don't think chat was ever needed. I understand why they have it, but they waited too long, is my opinion.
Yeah,
they're toxic as shit.
It's Riot. They always wait too long to like,
or not at all.
Yeah, yeah. Whole laundry list.
I'm more surprised it's even happening.
Yeah. Epic Games did another surprising thing right here. Epic Games credited Among Us developer Innersloth as the inspiration behind Fortnite's Imposters mode. The acknowledgement was part of a blog post detailing updates to the Battle Royale game.
Yeah, we all knew it was.
And I love how they're just like, they inspired us, and that's all they say.
Yeah,
like,
we copy the map.
Yeah. Fucking twats. Give them some money. G4 TV is returning November 16th on TV. They're back on YouTube. They are coming back to TV. with Attack of the Show, X-Play, and more. Think this is a bad move, personally, because they've been actually pretty successful on YouTube. So I think this is a bad move.
I've always said TV is the wrong move for this, but...
Yeah.
Hey, they're going to do what they're going to do.
Yeah. Dragon Age 4 may only be available on current-gen systems, according to a LinkedIn profile for one of the game's designers. Feelings? Thoughts?
Say it again.
Dragon Age 4 is probably only coming out on current-gen consoles.
First off, good.
Yes.
Second off, we ain't seen shit.
Yeah, same. Not happy about that. Valve is...
I'm kind of okay with it, let's be honest.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. I'm
be honest, because you know what's going to happen. We already know what happened. We saw two screenshots and people went, oh my God, it looks so amazing. And it's like, hey, you saw nothing.
So, BioWare, is Dragon Age 4 the next thing that they're going to come out with? Right? Or
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, BioWare proper would be the next thing. Would be Dragon Age. Mass Effect's
it should be after that.
Yeah. Oh. Anthem 2 is not getting done. And they don't even run Star Wars anymore.
It's BioWare Austin that does Star Wars? Or
they kicked it over to the MMO studio, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so, okay. Which is the only good one, which is...
The best part about that.
Yeah.
You want to go do raids in Star Wars?
I would consider it.
No, you don't.
I mean, no, I would. Listen, you consider it,
but let's be honest about both of our time commitments right
that's
now.
That's the problem.
It ain't happening.
Yeah, that's the problem. Is the willingness there? Yes. Do I have the manpower and resources to launch that type of campaign? Absolutely not.
No, that's true. That's true. Unless we both quit our jobs and do it tomorrow.
Exactly.
Our jobs.
I mean,
become,
I do have a boatload of time off.
Our jobs become Twitch streaming, us trying to figure out how to raid in Star Wars: The Old Republic.
Yeah.
For all of two viewers.
Yeah.
One on your channel and one on mine. Yeah.
It'd probably be my dog watching.
It would be my monitor open on the second screen to make sure things weren't wrong.
Valve is not allowing
blockchain. On literally that screen, I'll put my webcam up, but also be streaming myself to that TV to nobody.
Yeah, get a little inception going on there.
Yeah.
Valve is not allowing blockchain-based games or those featuring NFTs on Steam. That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, okay, I don't, whatever.
Yeah, it's just the Valve thing. The developer mentioned it because like one of their games incorporates something like that's related to those. And the going theory and their theory as well was that Valve was worried about gambling lawsuits and stuff, so they just nixed it.
Makes sense.
Yeah. And that's it for this week's news, unless there's anything else you can think of for news.
I got a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah. New games. Plan new games.
7 days, what you been up to?
Let's see here. PGA Tour 2K21, since it was free on PlayStation Plus, and some coworkers wanted to get in on it, so we got a little coworker.
How are you enjoying it, outside of, regardless of them?
It's a golf game. I like it. I think if you have played any golf game in the past, I don't know, fucking 10 years, you'll know exactly what it is and how to play it. It's a good first golf game for like for restarting a franchise. Like a golf franchise. I don't think there was a PGA 2K20, was there? Because it was just the golf club. Yeah, I mean, it's a little barren as far as like if you're just looking to play golf and that's it, awesome. If you're looking for anything more than that, as far as like, you know, making your character look pretty or like a huge assortment of golf clubs, it ain't got any of that.
Hmm.
It's got a course creator, which seems to be a lot of stuff on there, so you can go ham.
I would love to build you guys a course to have to play on. That would be funny.
We are, I think, planning on dipping into some of the community created courses because some of them are just obviously wild. So,
yeah, they're basically going to be mini golf courses.
Yeah, but I've been enjoying it.
Just a giant windmill.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it for the most part. I mean, I think there is some weird, like, not janky, but I don't know. I feel like there's some weird physics shits that happen sometimes.
Typical stick flick shooting?
Yeah, it is like if you've played a golf game in the past, it's exactly
the same. As long as it wasn't an arcade one, because, like, yes. The arcade ones are triple button presses usually.
It even has the same putting with the lines from EA Sports games and the Tiger Woods games.
Yeah, which is typical of truly all golf games.
Yep. It's basically the Tiger Woods golf games. Started Far Cry 6. Haven't made it off the starter island that I've been told by experienced people.
That'd be me.
And haven't had a chance to play Hot Wheels or New World, which New World's probably just on the back burner until time is available. Hot Wheels might come back every once in a while. Other than that,
time is a construct.
Yeah, exactly. Other than that, looking forward to building a keyboard this weekend and setting up ambient lights on the TV, hopefully, and car shopping. We're going out to Albany for some car test drives. A little test drive.
Who's buying a car now?
Well, Samantha still needs a car, so.
Oh, I forgot about the tree.
Yeah. Damn tree. Going to a Ford dealership. Going to check out the new Maverick.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Should get a Bronco.
Also, funny you should say that.
Testing it?
The theory right now, because build times, it's all about building cars now. I don't know if you've... You gotta order them. You can't, like... Yeah. So...
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. So the current plan is that we suspect they're not going to have what we want. Because we have a couple things that are like hard, fast, like we need these or we're not getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Heated seats is the big thing. Because Samantha's cold all the time.
Yeah. For me, not a thing.
Yeah, same.
I'm almost like, do you have a cooling seat?
Exactly. So Ford, you can build a car, order a car for a $500 deposit, and it's refundable.
Oh, okay.
So our current... tactic is if we end up going that route, we will order a Maverick and a Bronco, and then whichever one
shows up
in a reasonable amount of time, we'll just refund the other one,
right?
Because the dealership doesn't care, because that's another car that they'll have on the lot that they can sell.
Yeah, which either one of those is going to sell.
Yeah, it's like a win-win for them.
Yeah.
So, but we'll see. We got a test drive. But what have you been up to?
I know, man. They call it the usual around here.
The huge,
typical little bit of some MLB.
MLB, it's gotta be getting towards the end of its lifespan for you.
Yeah, we're reaching there. Football Manager, Forza, everything comes out about mid-November,
mm-hmm.
So it'll be a little bit strenuous in terms of how much baseball I can actually play.
Yeah, you're gonna have to keep reminding me of Forza because I'm gonna keep forgetting.
Oh, I'm gonna remind you of Forza because I'm gonna threaten to kick the shit out of you.
Yeah,
in a race, and that'll be how we get there.
Yeah, that'll require a little bit of prep, as you alluded to earlier.
Oh, yeah, I'll probably be like, dude, Forza's next week, and as we know, with 2 day, we can take care of what we need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the racing helmets and everything that we're going to buy. I'm gonna get gloves.
Yep, gloves. Yep. Gotta get the fire suit.
Oh, yeah, whole fire suit. Sponsors.
Yep.
Exactly. Acquire those.
Yep. The fucking water bottle, you know, that you put in the car.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Don't get dehydrated.
That's true. Especially when we're doing those 24 hours of Le Mans. And
yeah, you got to pee in your race suit. It's a whole thing.
Yeah, and it's not like we're wasting it because we're buying it for Gran Turismo when we do a 24-hour Le Mans in my house.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone listening to that, they're going to be like, what a bunch of nerds.
Imagine just sitting in a fire suit in my living room with a racing helmet on. Honestly, driving for 12 hours in a Le Mans.
This goes back to the whole heated car seat / cooled car seat things. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Because it'd be just disgusting, like, sweaty mess.
Yeah, it would almost have to be like, okay, you drive for an hour and then swap immediately. Yeah,
we'll have to set up outside in the middle of the winter and fucking...
Yeah, we'll constantly be only walking around in, like, half the fire suit with that whole move where we take the top half off and just wandering around.
Exactly.
Fun jokes that would exist if we had more time.
Yes.
So it's been that, been the World of Warcraft and Far Cry 6.
Yep. Making progress, ahead of the curve. Don't sell yourself short here.
I did go get ahead of the curve. I have killed Sylvanas on heroic.
He's trying to be humble over here and not tell you of his exploits.
Yeah, let me get up to some exploits. Yeah. 4 out of 10 on mythic now.
Getting there. Have you ever done on mythic? This is first time. If you complete them all, theoretically.
Right. This would be the first time I've ever done it when it was in content.
You have to throw a party.
Like true progression.
Yeah.
I've gone back and done mythic stuff in the same expansion where I've just kind of like gone back and smashed it or whatever. Yeah.
That's nothing. Not
in the same expansion. Sorry. An expansion later.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just go back and smash the old stuff, but that doesn't really matter because that's just you do stupid damage at that point. So you just blow everything up and run away.
It's an accomplishment.
The most that I've like done is I've done big raiding.
Mm-hmm.
Some back when mythic wasn't a thing. It was just like heroic and normal, and it was 10 and 25, man.
Yeah.
I would be parts of some of those kills, but never like part of a main team. I was just getting picked up because I could help out or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That was really it. Otherwise, it was usually I would do normal with a group, and then that's, depending on the group, is usually either what we stopped there, or I didn't, it was all, I was younger, never understood sometimes what like raiding was. And then there were a bunch of expansions where I was alone.
Yeah.
It was like me and one other person. And I was like, all right, cool. Raid Finder Heroes. So we just do the dumbest version of the fight and dumpster that.
Yeah.
But it was like, that's nothing.
Yeah.
I've literally fallen asleep during those before and still won. And it's like, it's not. There's no achievement. You don't feel good about finishing that.
Yeah.
Because there's no actual progression. It's not like you have to execute everything. So, yeah, this is the first time that I'm doing that.
It's exciting.
And 4 down. And we got the fifth one down to 19%. And then we all died, so we're right there. I think it'll just be a little bit more of getting some more gear and, just kind of everybody get used to it and then execute, do it, and move on.
Next week,
we'll check. Hopefully,
we'll check in next week.
Hopefully,
how many? So you have 4 down. How many are left?
There's 10.
There's 10 total.
Mm-hmm. We for sure can kill if we get the fifth one down and like we get it down to a like thing. We can kill 5 in a night, and move on. Mm-hmm. We killed 4 in the first night with some pulls onto 5. So,
mm-hmm.
It'll just be a matter of every time as we get further and further, everything becomes faster and faster.
Yeah.
So we can eventually probably get to, depending on how long we actually have and whatever, we can get to doing the end of it faster. It's just going to be having to get there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which I don't know how, I know how some of the other fights go after that, but I don't know how hard they will actually be for us after this one.
Yeah.
Some I don't think will actually be hard. Some I think will be hard. So I don't know. We'll see.
We will see.
And then, Far Cry. Hold on. I will tell you in a second. According to Ubisoft Connect, I've played for about 8 hours, which I don't think is true. Because there have been a few times I forgot I left the game open and I went and did something else.
That's the best of us.
According to game progression, 33%. And I don't know what that entails. I don't know if that counts like collectibles or if that's just story missions. Clearing the map of checkpoints and things? Like I don't know.
If it accounts for everything, then you're probably a lot further along. Then
if it accounts for everything, then yeah, I might be a lot further on. If that's just story, then okay, I might not be.
Yeah.
Which that sounds kind of right because I've only fully cleared 1 of 3.5 zones.
Mm-hmm.
Of in terms of like story,
so
stuff.
It should be roughly a third.
Yeah, so I'd be like
a little over a third.
Yeah, so that would make sense if it's just kind of like main story stuff.
Cool beans, that's not bad then. I was kind of concerned that it would be like another Ubisoft like 60,
and
like 70
hour
game.
I think 8 hours is too high.
Yeah, yeah,
but I mean
maybe 4 or 5,
and probably like 6. Yeah, this is almost 8.5. It's probably like 6.5. It's probably just 2 hours of spare. But it's also different, though, for what you and I do. I will move around those games.
Yeah. I mean, when it comes to Far Cry, the only thing, like, I might do some of the collectathon things, like, if they are beneficial to, like, if they're related to upgrades or guns or whatever. And I don't know if there's crafting in this game or not.
Yeah, I mean, there's crafting, there's, like, the hunting stuff, you know, hunting spots and stuff, yeah, like there were. When I reach a Far Cry game, the only clearing of anything I do is if there's an outpost, I murder it. If there's a checkpoint, I murder it. I clear the map of all of, like, the enemy things because they usually mean that I can fast travel or make my movement much easier. Mm-hmm. So those are my priority along with quests and then, like, the hunting and crafting stuff. I don't think it's mattered as much since 4. When 4 was the last one I remember where you're in with Pagan Men and everything and you had, mm-hmm, to actually go get certain hides to upgrade ammo pouches and stuff like that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure that's not the case at all again. So I don't really have a reason to hunt. That was the only reason I did it back then, was because you needed 2 bear pelts to get the next bonus amount of ammo holding or whatever.
Are you playing the game the same way? Are you doing, what are you doing? Are you doing stealthy at all? Are you just kind of going run and gun?
Depends on the feeling.
Okay. So you're just kind of all over the
place. If it's kind of like, there's only a couple enemies here.
I guess what I'm getting at is, do you feel like it favors any sort of play style?
I think it favors stealth.
Okay.
I think stealth, as we know, makes everything easier.
Uh-huh.
So I think in that way it favors stealth.
But not necessarily quicker.
Not necessarily quicker. Can be if you execute cleanly, mm-hmm, but if you mess up,
yeah,
then it, you know. I go with the I'm stealthy until I'm not motif.
Yeah.
As much as I can. Moment somebody sees me, though, I'll fire that rocket launcher off my back and we're going.
It's go time.
I have ran into quite a few issues with enemy spawning, though.
You know what? The first fucking... That first little, like, uranium thing.
Yeah.
No, actually, it was before that. It's the first time I met Juan.
Yeah, I think the uranium one's actually fine because there's a defined number of enemies, yep, in the area.
When I went to Juan, after he gets done talking, you obviously are getting ready to fight people, all of them popped in.
Yeah, anytime that there is a open area,
mm-hmm,
and it's not a garrison or something where it is an actual, like, building that they've clearly set aside and said there is a set number here, yada yada. Anytime that there is an open area, I feel like they just repopulate the world by respawning in enemies,
mm-hmm,
after X amount of time of the game recognizing they're dead.
Yep.
So I have been... It's 11 something at night and they're going by. Amish buggy.
They don't fuck around.
I mean, fuck around, find out. I've had it happen where I've killed everybody. And so typical when you, like, spot them, you get the little marker above their head. And the mini-map goes from having a red blotch on it to actually having the dot where they are. I've had it where I've killed a bunch of people and I kind of come back out of a combat thing. And I glance back down at my mini-map and everything behind me that I just went through is all red splotches again because they respawned everything that I haven't detected yet. And I was like,
yeah.
Why? Yeah, same thing. One, I've had things spawn right in front of me as I'm looking at it. I'm like, I can't ever get, once I get into, which is why I think it favors stealth, just because it makes everything easier to just go stealthy and be done with it. Because every time I've gone loud and I run into a situation where helicopters are here now or whatever, and I am just blowing everything up.
Yeah, everything pops enemies, back in.
Because you get that threat level, your threat level goes all the way up, and so they want to make things start kind of like hunting you, but nothing hunts you, it just appears.
Yeah, which immediately fucks you because you're not...
Yeah, it's never, hey, enemy forces are inbound, so you can look down the road and see them driving up in trucks.
Yeah.
It's, hey, they're inbound, and behind you. You're like, well, come on, man, and you get shot in the back.
Yeah. All right. That's cool. Something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah. So that's all I got.
I'm good.
All right, perfect. Then we will see you guys later. Bye-bye.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.